I welcome you once again to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries Bible Study. This is the Message of the Bible Series, Lesson 17. I am Elder Faye, your teacher for the Message of the Bible Series. It is so appropriate that this Easter message is being brought to you on Good Friday, because Good Friday is the day on which all Christians from every denomination stop to commemorate and stop to remember and to honor the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the very act that brought salvation to all who believe. It is so important that our children this time of year get the true meaning of what we are celebrating, because it's so easy for the true meaning of Easter to be overshadowed by colored eggs and Easter baskets and Easter bunnies, wherever that came from. Even adults can sometimes get caught up in buying clothes to wear for this day. That's okay. It's a joyful celebration. But deep in our hearts, we must remember the true meaning of our joy and celebration. On this day, we as believers have an obligation to pass it on to the next generation, hopefully without all the commercialism. So that being said, let's get into the lesson. This is lesson 3 in the last of our 3-part series on how our salvation through Jesus Christ is laid out for us from the cradle to the cross, and from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky, or to the heavens, where Christ is on the right hand of the throne of God and intercedes for us until he comes again. In our last lesson, and our last 2 lessons, we spiritually walked with Jesus from birth to his adolescent years to beginning of his ministry as a grown man. This lesson is going to be a 2-part Bible study, Christ's death and his resurrection. You may ask why I teach the death and resurrection at the same time. That's a good question. And my answer is, there is no way that we can appreciate the resurrection until we completely understand what was happening on the cross. So let's get right into the lesson. We have a lot of ground to cover, so please listen closely. In last week's lesson, the last time we saw Jesus, he was about 30 years old, as John the Baptist paved the way for his ministry. The next time we see Jesus in this week's lesson, he is hanging on the cross. We see Jesus hanging there on the cross to bring us into a relationship with God, so he will have mercy on us and save us from the punishment we deserve for our sin and disobedience to a righteous God. Follow me to the Old Testament just for a moment. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 2nd and 17th, remember Moses cried it away for the people to be considered right in God's eyes by the offering of animal sacrifice. For every sin they committed every day, these sacrifices were only temporarily and were really a foreshadowing, a vision, a prophecy of things to come, which would be the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross, once for all sin, once for all time. He is there on the cross for our redemption, our deliverance. He is there purchasing our salvation and paying the price for our sins by offering his life as an exchange for our sin, with that bought upon us the wrath of God, and thereby death. This is not figuratively, symbolically speaking. It is literally meaning exactly what happened. He purchased our salvation by giving his life. That is why Jesus came and why he died, to become the ultimate and the final sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. In John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Hebrew, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, and by that, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once for all. Glory to God. If we would just allow ourselves to think about the cross for any length of time, the thought of how Christ suffered is so overbearing until we sometimes find ourselves uncontrollably weeping. Our hearts would just break from the sorrow we are feeling for him, and we ask, why would God allow his only son to suffer such horrible punishment? But it was just for a moment allow ourselves to think about the role we played in him being there. That controllable, uncontrollable weeping will continue every day. What we need to do is see ourselves as deserving the punishment that Christ suffered on the cross for us. Until we do, we will never understand the cross. But the cross stands there as proof of God's love for us. And if we look real close and listen with our spiritual ears, we'll see that it also reveals our unworthiness of such love. The very reason we see Jesus hanging there on the cross, suffering unto death, is for us, because of and for our sins, past, present, and future. God declares that all who sin will die, both physically and spiritually. This was the fate of all mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But God, through his grace and mercy, by the shed blood of his perfect Son on the cross, he provided a way for man to get out of the mess he had gotten himself into. When we fully understand what Christ did for us on the cross, when we feel the hurt and pain Jesus felt, when we realize that all that suffering was not only because of us, but also for us, it is then, and only then, will we be gratefully willing to fall on our knees in thankful worship to him. Use the word thankfully worship, for lack of better words, to form a better phrase, because if it took all the words from all the books and languages of the world, you wouldn't be able to form a phrase that would be suitable to explain what we should be feeling in our hearts of what Christ did for us on the cross. No mere word would or should ever be able to express it. As I was contemplating and going into deep spiritual thought about this lesson, there's a hymn I used to hear when I was growing up, and even sometimes now, to ask the question, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And then the hymn went on to express the feeling we should have had if we had been there by saying, oh, sometimes it calls me to tremble, to tremble, Lord, to tremble. And it goes on to ask the question again, were you there when they crucified my Lord? By this time, as I considered what the hymn was saying, I began to take this question personally. It was as if the hymn came to life and was asking me the question, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And in my spirit, I actually began to react. You know, when the spirit is working in you, strange things happen. Believe me. Still have it not yielded to think it spiritually. My first thought was, that was over 2,000 years ago. Of course I was not there. And thinking in the natural, I was right. But I began to think with my spiritual mind. It came clear. Yes, I was there. So were you. How were we there? We were there in the mind of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to pause a moment. Let me digest that last statement. When Jesus left heaven to come to earth, the entire human race was on his mind. And it took all of us to the cross with him all the way. That is why he came, was crucified, died, buried, and rose again for all men, for all time. And Jesus hung there on the cross, although he was suffering, his thoughts were about us. We were always there in his thoughts. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we think about how he suffered for us on the cross, that is what causes us to tremble, to tremble, to tremble, because we were there. As Jesus hung there suffering on the cross, he loved us so much that there on the cross, he taught us two of the most important aspects, the most important parts about salvation, and that is love and forgiveness. Because forgiveness is the prerequisite. It is a requirement. It is a must for entering the kingdom of heaven. In order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, our sins had to be forgiven by God. And love is the prerequisite for forgiveness. It is a must. It's a requirement. If we love each other as Christ loves us, forgiveness would come more easily and not be such a struggle. Because there on the cross, he demonstrated both. At the worst moment of his life on earth, he had to live what he taught us to do. And that is to love and forgive. In Mark the 11th chapter, the 25th verse, he taught, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 32nd verse, he talks, and be you kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Luke, the 6th chapter, the 27th verse, he talks, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do not do good to them that hate you. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse, when he taught his disciples how to pray, he taught them to say, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. He even gave us a new commandment of love. In John, the 13th chapter, the 34th, the 35th verse, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. These are the commandments Jesus taught that builds our spiritual character. They either make us ready for the kingdom, or they make us turn and run away from it. Jesus was the victim of history's greatest crime, yet he prayed for the criminal. He prayed for his enemies through all his suffering when men had done the worst to him. He did not pray for God to punish them for what they were doing to him, but he prayed for mercy. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 34th verse, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Although we were not there physically, but as we continue to gaze upon him, our spirit with our spiritual eyes, we will realize that we were there. And always will be, each time we remember. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, 24th verse, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wound we have been healed. When Jesus drew his last breath, in due time, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. Let's listen. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 1st to the 3rd verse, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and they sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. In Matthew 28, chapter 4, says 6 verse, said, and the guards at the tomb shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. In Matthew 28, chapter 16, verse, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. But in Acts, the first chapter, the third verse, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at that time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit come on you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. Happy Easter, everybody. Go out today and enjoy your celebration, for he is risen, just like he said he would. And join me in our next Bible study as we study some important things Christ taught us before he left us. That will definitely strengthen our faith and leave us with no doubt that he has risen and he will return. So the next time we see Jesus, that's each of our individual chapter to add to the book. We accept him as our Lord and Savior and see him in the kingdom, ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is up to each of us alone. No one can write this chapter but you. So may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.